Today, we're going to share Psalm 1. David says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the wicked watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God's word to us this morning.
Right, it's good to have your Bibles open at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. What do we mean by the word blessed? Sometimes when we pray for people, we ask God to bless them. At the end of our prayer time in our house group, we pray for those who aren't present. And we pray that God to bless them wherever they are. What are we asking God to do? What do we mean by the word bless? I'm sure there are many answers. And in that word bless, we gather up a whole multitude of requests to God. But this morning we meet a man who is blessed. Blessed is the man. If we turn to our dictionaries, blessed is happy. A state of happiness. And it's as simple as that. Our man in Psalm 1 is a happy man. He is in a state of happiness. So what makes you happy? I want you to imagine I'm going to come among you with a slip of paper and a pencil. Okay? I'm going to give you a few seconds and I want you to write down three things that make you happy. Okay? Don't worry. There's no roaming mic to come around and ask you what you're going to say. Okay? I just want you to think of three things that make you happy. I reckon all your answers are positive. There's not a negative word in your answers. And in my research with my family, I asked them that question. And I didn't get these answers, but these may have been the answers. I'm happy when I'm on holiday. I'm happy on Saturday afternoon on the terraces watching Hartlepool United. Something like that. I guess I will not find that you've said what makes you unhappy, such as, I'm happy when I'm not on my own. I'm happy when I'm not at work. I reckon you would have said positive things. But the writer of our psalm does start with a list of negatives. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the godly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. It's only now that he comes to what the blessed man does. So I want to begin, as we would, with the positive. Looking at what the blessed man does, rather than considering first what he doesn't do. So we're going to be looking at verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Let's try and understand that. Who is the Lord? Okay, if you see Lord in your Bibles with capital letters, a capital L, a capital O, a capital R, and a capital D, it's a translation of a Jewish name for God, Yahweh. And we find that throughout the Bible. But in Genesis it says, in the day the Lord God made the heaven and the earth and the heavens, the Lord is God the Creator, the one who made everything, the one who rules over everything. What is this law of the Lord then? Well, to the writer of this psalm, who we don't know, this would have been the first five books of our Bibles. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. But today, we would see it as the whole 66 books. This man's delight is in this book. Why would such a man delight in this book? I said before that in my research, I asked Fiona what would make her happy. And she told me three things, and on top of her list were Paul and Hannah. That's our children. And I knew I shouldn't have inquired why I wasn't on that list at all. But I'm over it now, okay? They make her happy, and she delights in them. Why? Because she loves them. What we love delights us and brings us happiness. Love, delight, and happiness are all bundled up together. Our man is happy because he loves the Lord, therefore he delights in his word, and this brings him into a state of happiness. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And it's worth just stopping and asking ourselves, do you love the Lord, Creator of earth and heaven? If you do not love the Lord, you will not delight in his word. You might find it interesting, intellectually stimulating. You might find it a help now and again, but you won't delight in the Bible. Our man loves God, and as a consequence of that, he delights in his word, and he is blessed. He is happy. Are you blessed? Are you happy? Do you love God? So how does our man show that he delights in the law of the Lord? Well, verse 2 tells us, on his law he meditates day and night. He meditates on this book day and night. What do we mean by meditate? Well, here's a few definitions for you. Meditate describes an active pondering, perhaps even muttering to oneself in pursuit of insight. Indulge in thought, reflect over. Meditation is inwardly receiving the word of God. In practice, it means reading and rereading the same passage a number of times. It may mean speaking it out aloud. It may mean writing the passage down. It may mean trying to memorize the passage. But basically, it involves God, his word, and you. Taking time with God's word, not rushing on, asking simple questions, but always remembering that this is God's word and handle it with care. Last year at Holiday Club, some of the teachers got together to look over the passages that we were going to teach. And we were teaching the I Ams of Jesus, I Am the Good Shepherd. And we just sat round a table and read the passages over and over again. Read them in a different translation over and over again. And a comment was, I didn't really know it said that. We need to take time with God's word. Let me quote you from George Muller, who lived in the 1800s, and he initiated a project for the housing and caring of orphans in the city of Bristol. He was struggling with his prayer life. I say struggling as he spent the first hour of the day on his knees. His thoughts wandered, and he derived little comfort or encouragement from this time. He writes this in his testimony called Soul Food. It has pleased the Lord to teach me a truth, the benefit of which I have lost, have not lost for 14 years. I saw how clearly than ever that the first business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, but how I might get my soul in a happy state, how my inner man might be nourished. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. The first thing I did after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing on his word was to begin to meditate on the word, searching it, as it were, every verse to get a blessing from it, not for the sake of public ministry or preaching, but for obtaining soul food for my soul. The result I found invariably was this. After a few minutes, my soul had been led to confession or thanksgiving, intercession or supplication. Yet it turned almost immediately to prayer. And that's what the Bible says of itself, that it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that every good man might be competent, equipped for every good work. That's what George Muller found. By meditating on the word of God, he found happiness in the Lord. Staying with the idea that meditating on the Bible is food for our souls, we can come to the Bible as if watching a cookery program on the telly. We can watch as the meal is being made. We know all the ingredients. We know how they are put together, the techniques used. We can even write down the instructions from the screen. We can even listen to the comments of some expert on the taste and flavour of the meal. We can see it nicely presented on a plate. But we've never touched or tasted anything. We've just passively watched, been entertained as someone else has got on with the job. And then you can switch channel and watch it all over again. And we can easily have this approach to the Word of God, the law of the Lord. We can read books about the Bible. We can come this morning to hear talk about a bit of the Bible. We can, through the power of the internet, listen to sermons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's good. But it's not meditating on God's word. In meditating on God's word, there is God, there is you, and there is his word. D.L. Moody, an American evangelist greatly used by God, gave testimony to the blessing of reading of the word of God in his own life. He said, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning, but faith did not come down. One day I read the 10th chapter of Romans. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. And now opened my Bible and began to read, and my faith has been growing ever since. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that every good man may be competent, equipped for every good work." But now look at our man in verse 2. "On his law he meditates day and night. This man has God's word before him all the time. It's not just 15 minutes here or there. No, he meditates on it both day and night. And perhaps you're like me. The days are busy. As soon as my head lifts off the pillow, my employer expects me to complete certain tasks. The joy of the internet, my work has come into my home. Pressed for time, I put my Bible and my notes into my bag, hoping that during the day sometime I might take it out of my bag. But more is expected to be done. Days are filled with driving from A to B. The Bible has stayed in my bag. No sooner is tea out of the way than maybe there's a church meeting to attend or friends to meet with. And one of the joys of getting older is that it seems that no sooner have you lifted your head off the pillow then you're actually putting it back down again. But what gets squeezed out of that day? And it's God's word. Everything else fits in except God's word. And sometimes we can just read the Bible superficially, a quick glance. What do the notes say? Oh, Psalm 1 again. I know that. And we're here today to encourage one another. And how can we encourage one another to open our Bibles, to meditate on the Bible, on God's word? Some of us use Explore Notes to help us with our Bible reading. And maybe can I encourage you to find someone else who uses those notes, and over a cup of coffee, do one of the readings. Encourage one another, maybe once a week, once a month, just for half an hour. If you already meet for coffee, how about daring to suggest that you do it over reading a passage of the Bible? Let the Bible flavour your conversation. Maybe you need help in reading your Bible. Maybe you need help to meditate on the Bible, on God's word. Have a chat with somebody. Let them know. Because we're here for each other, aren't we? To encourage one another. Our man is blessed, isn't he? He's happy because he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in God's word. We can be happy and blessed people. Let's encourage each other to get our heads into God's word. But let's not separate our love for God and his word. The happy man loves God, therefore delights in his word. We've mentioned, we've come across the point of why we meditate. As George Muller said, it led him to confession, thanksgiving, intercession and supplication. In other words, God is working in our lives. He's illuminating the wrongs in our lives, highlighting the need for prayer in our lives, brings us to praise and thanksgiving, and brings us to our knees pleading for his mercy. And if we go back to verse 1, and we see how blessed man was doing there. The blessed man, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Meditating on the word of God helps us to face every situation throughout the day with a view to pleasing God by knowing and following his word. So our man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not stand in the way of sinners, and he will not sit in the seat of the scoffers, because he delights in the law of the Lord. He knows God's word, and he is obedient to it. One thing I noticed here in verse 1 is that it's one man against many. There is a blessed man, and there are wicked sinners and scoffers. We were warned on Wednesday night at our AGM that we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. How many of us are here this morning? 150 plus? How many are attending Christian meetings in our town? Should I be generous and say 2,000? How many live in our town? 30,000. There is a battle there, isn't there? There is far more wicked sinners and scoffers trying to undermine your love for God, mocking your delight in his word. It's true, we are in a battle. And that battle, the battle that comes out of these verses here, is from our neighbours, isn't it? Our friends, our work colleagues, and our schools. Let me tell you about Katie and Karen, two of our young people at school. They have sat through RE lessons where their faith, our faith, has been belittled, ridiculed and scoffed at. Katie and Karen were unhappy about this, and they shared it with others. It was prayed about And they decided it would be a great idea to have a Christian viewpoint in that lesson in school. And so they spoke to their teacher. How courageous is that? Even though they knew the teacher did not like Christians in the school. But God answers prayer, doesn't he? And Bod and Hannah now have the opportunity to take one of those RE lessons in that school. How blessed are Katie and Karen. They have not walked in the counsel of their teacher. They have not sat in the seat of scoffers. Their love for God and their delight in his word, happy to share it with their school friends. This psalm has been written to show us that there is a choice in this life. The writer gives us both the positive and the negative actions of the blessed man to illustrate two ways in this life. One way is to love God and his law, while the other is to take the advice of the wicked, live a sinful life, mocking at others. The happy man, the man who wants to be happy, the man who desires true happiness, chooses a life loving God and his way. But these choices, these battles, are always before us. And the importance of the two ways in this life is revealed in verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Two ways. One known by God, one watched over by God, but the other ends in destruction. The other will come to an end. The other will perish. A few minutes before, I was asking if you love God. But perhaps the question really is God watching over you? Does God know you? And if you're unsure, speak to someone about that, because it is important. It is a matter of life and death. How do we see our family and our friends and our neighbours, our school friends, our work colleagues, the nice people we know who are not on the righteous path, who do not love God and who do not delight in his word, whom God does not watch over? Do we see them on the path to destruction? Or as verse 5, do we see them unable to stand on the day of judgment? In Romans 8, Paul says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires, the counsel of the wicked, the way of sinners, the seat of scoffers. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires, delighting in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. The mind of the sinful man is death. The way of the wicked will perish. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, in all that he does he prospers. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The psalm warns us that there are two ways to live in this life. It warns us that one of those ways will end, in the end will perish. We have heard the warning. Now we need to share that with our family and our friends. We have a message to share. A message how God has watched over us, of how God has known us, of how God has loved us, the message of Jesus risen from the dead. We began with a list of things that makes us happy. Well, a make-believe one, at least. But I wonder what was on top of that list. Was it delighting in the word of God? Was it loving God? Was it meditating on the word of God? Over the past few weeks, Brian's been talking about desires of the heart, idols in our life. Are those things on that list idols in your life? Do you believe those things will really make you happy? Or are you taking the counsel of the wicked? We've talked about meditating on God's word. If you need help or encouragement, do have a chat with somebody. Happiness is at stake. Blessed is the man. The blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of living water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I can look out, can I, and see trees, can I, planted with plenty of water, bearing fruit, green leaves all the time. Let us be people who love God, delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. People who do not take the counsel of the wicked and do not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. It's a familiar psalm, but it has challenged me. Brian gave me this psalm to speak on, and as I prepared that, it has challenged me about my attitudes to God's word.